Since the start of the year, we have been looking at the various Old Testament stories. And this evening, we'll be looking at a vast several chapters, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And I'm sure it is not in the mind of Pastor Hien that I come here and be telling you that between so-so-so year and so-so year, XYZ was the king, this was what he did, and blah, 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 otherwise we are going to be here till tomorrow. And therefore, I asked God, what exactly do you want me to pass across to your people this evening? And I think it's better for me to start at what actually led to the appointment of kings in Israel. Was it at all God's plan to give them kings? If we read very well, 1 Samuel chapter 8, it was the Israelites who went to Samuel. Can you appoint us a king? Look at other nations surrounding us. They have kings. Their king always lead them whenever they are going to war. We want something similar. And that was the start of the appointment of kings. We have King Saul, who started well, but ended very badly. Then we have David, who God described as a man after his own heart. He also did his own funny things. But God looked at his heart and said, this man is genuine. And then we have Solomon, who also started well. And the end was not that very good. And because of what he did, it led to the division of the entire kingdom. And it went on and on. And I have some few statistics to give you. You know, from Israel's side, from Jeroboam to Hoshea, there are 20 kings that ruled over 245 years. You will say, why is this man coming to give us statistics? I'm going somewhere. And if we look on the other side, Judah, okay? On the side of Judah, there are also 20 kings spanning over 384 years. Now, let's go back to the Israel side. Of all the kings on the Israel side, there is none of them that was described in history as being good. None on the Israel side was described as being good. They are either bad or very bad or very wicked or murderers. They are greedy, selfish, and they always lead their people astray. Out of the 20 kings on the side of Judah, there are very few good kings. And the rest are described in the annals of history as bad. And if we go back to the Israel side, out of the 246 years, they just experienced peace for 82 years, which is just a third, 33%. And on the side of Judah, they also experienced peace for 131 years out of 384. Again, one third. Having said all this, what are the lessons that we can learn? Because when I was given this task, I had to go back and I read 1 Kings to the end, 2 Kings to the end. And I went back. And that was what first led me to the song we started with. Because God of those days, oh my God, if no grace had been extended to us, by now we would have been done. Because God of those days is, you do this, you're against me, he deals with you directly like that. No grace at all. But we want to thank God for Jesus Christ's crucifixion that brought us that grace and mercy. So what lessons can we learn? Because the very first thing, whenever you start to read from 1 Kings, whenever they say, these are the things that that king did, they will say, they will conclude, recorded in the annals of history of that king. So the first lesson is whatsoever you do, whatsoever I do, is recorded in the annals of history. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? What will your spouse say about you? What will your children say about you? Will they say, blessed is our grandfather. Blessed be our father. Or they will say something else. I don't want to say that here. That is the first thing that came to mind. The second lesson I want us to take away from here, it was not the original plan of God to give the Israelites kings. It was the Israelites who asked for king because they compared themselves with other nations. They are forgotten that they are covenanted to God. That agreement, that covenant between them and God exists. And so they cannot just do anything out of their own volition. So the second lesson I will say is, stay in your lane. Stay in lane. You know, at times when you are traveling, you see that signboard, stay in lane. Don't go to other lanes. Don't peep at others. Don't compare yourself with others. Even if you are twins, the plan of God for A is quite different from B. Stay in lane. Stay with the plan of God for your life. Don't say because XYZ is doing this, I too can do it. If you are led by God to do it, fine. Stay in lane. Do not look at what others are doing. And you know, when they went to Prophet Samuel to say, appoint us a king, he wasn't happy. He approached God. But he warned them, you are looking for a king? Okay, God will give you, but be ready for what will happen. And that was why I gave you those statistics at the beginning. What is the essence of 246 years? A third of it was lived in peace. The rest, war. So you can imagine the number of lives wasted. Stay in lane. Even in 100 meters when you are running, if you double into others lane, what will happen? You will be disqualified, even if you come first. Stay in your lane. What is the second lesson? The importance of having a godly leader. The importance of having a godly leader is just too high. As Christians, we cannot just sit back. We cannot sit back. I was in New York a few weeks back. And for your information, if you read the things that their assembly agreed that they should be teaching the children in school, it's so appalling. And one of them raised it up in the assembly. He was reading it, and they said, no, stop reading it. No, he said, you cannot stop me from reading it because this is what you have approved to be taught to our children. Godly leadership. It is very, very important. At home, godly leadership. In the church of God, godly leadership. In our community and societies, we need godly leaders. If you read what I said from, just go back and read 1 and 2 Kings. Things that are peculiar with those days is when they have godly leaders, what are the ungodly leaders, what happens? It leads the people astray. It takes them away from God. And then they will be subjected to punishment. Death will come. Godly leaders. We cannot sit back anymore as Christians. We need to pray for godly leaders. Our counselors. At home, wherever. We need godly leaders. Because whatever policy they decide out there, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect me. It's going to affect our children. It's going to affect our generations. They can either take us away from God or leave us in such a tight position that to practice what we believe will become very, very difficult. That is the second lesson. The third lesson is the sin of idolatry and disobedience, starting from Jeroboam. Even Solomon, by the time Solomon was ending, sin of idolatry, worshiping other gods, disobedience to God's words. But we'll say, well, I don't worship other gods. I come to church. But whatever thing you have or you hold that you equate it to God, it's become idolatry already. What am I saying? Instead of you looking unto God, I begin to look at Pastor Ian. Pastor Ian will do this. Pastor Ian will do that. I'm not saying you should not look, but you need to look unto God who will enable him to do it and not him. What is it that we have that God has not given us? And the Bible says it very clearly. He who puts his trust in man. What did he say? You can fill in the gap. Sin of idolatry. I've said it here not once. We cannot go to court with our phones on, can we? The court is sitting, the judge is there, and your phone, brah! Contempt of court. We fear man than God. We don't want to go to human prison, man's prison, and therefore we can do anything we want with God. The time we say we want to live for prayer, how do we do it? Our relationship with our God. How were you last year? Your prayer life, is it improving? If you send a child to school and the child is not improving, you would ask for intervention, isn't it? I'm not a teacher, but I know they do have intervention. Some of us, we also need intervention. Because our Christian life, our journey is not the way we are so much laid back. Because yes, it's time of grace. But remember, Apostle Paul said, can we continue in sin and say grace may abound? He said, never. God is God of mercy, is God of grace, but he also a consuming fire. He is also a consuming fire. How How do we hold God? How do we hold God? What respect do we give God? Do we actually fear God? Lesson 4. Deceit and deception. Unholy alliances in terms of marriage, in terms of political affairs. These were the orders of the day. And what do we have today too? We deceive ourselves. Thank God we are not like some other churches. Pastors deceive their congregations. And today we have so many fake miracles. People are no longer seeking God. They are seeking miracles. They are seeking prosperity. They have left the fear of God. Deceit. Deception. Unholy alliances. When God says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What do we have? We are seated. We compromise. We do everything. I read it myself and I said, God, you need to create in me a clean hand. That was why I chose that Bible verse. Thank you, Pastor Ian, for pushing me to read that 1 Kings and 2 Kings again. Thank you so much. Because it really opened my eyes. And I have to, you know, check myself. It's just, the word of God is like a mirror. You look at yourself and you say, are you up to the standard? If God of those days would be the same now, many of us would have been gone. We would have been gone. Despite all the negatives that I've said, we still have pockets of people that God can say he relies on to be good. Despite the bad and poor leadership, despite the ungodly leaders, there are still pockets of people who fear God. In today's world, if God were to look down from heaven, would he be able to say, yes, I could see my sister there. She fears me. Oh, I could see Jide there. He fears me. Pockets of people who still fear God, despite the situation not being very encouraging. They still hold on very tight to what they believe in God. Even when Prophet Elijah says, I am the only one standing. He said, no. They will still have thousands who have neither bowed down their heads to bow. Are you among the few in our world today? Remember, was it not last year or 2 years ago? Pastor Ian led us through the book of Daniel. And he said they were deeply rooted in God. What can we say about our root? Is it the tap root that when you have tap root, it goes right down? Because the time will come during the period of dry season that you need a very strong tap root to really go down in order to draw water from deep inside the soil. Or you are just like those trees. When there is difficulty, what they do? Boom. Are you rooted in what you believe? Are you just practicing churchianity? Every Sunday I'm in the church. Or is that word of God that you hear, that you read, how do you put it into practice? How does it impact your life? Are you impacting your life? Are you impacting the life of your children? Of your neighbors that they can say, You are a child of God. Pockets of people who still believe and will not bow down to Baals. Lesson 7. No, we still have lesson 6. We still have prophets. Prophets that will still stand against injustices. Prophets like Elijah, who will face the king. You have done wrong. And this is the word of God. They declare the word of God as they receive it. We have pockets of people who will not bow down. And we have prophets that God has chosen. And irrespective, they are ready to lose their life. They declare the word of God as they receive it. There are so many things that at times Christians of nowadays, we are so quiet. We don't want, the politicians, they have their powerful media. And so we don't want to go into conflict. But if you are friend of the world, you'll be enemy of God. Pockets of people. And we have prophets who stood to declare the word of God. And we are prophets of our generation. We are prophets of our generation. Are we going to fold our hands and continue to say things? Remember, which book now? I think it was it Amos who said, "Woe unto them who are at peace in Mount Zion." I will try and find out. We cannot be silent anymore. This is the time to speak out as directed by God. Seventh lesson. God is always faithful to his words. Whenever Prophet Elijah declares, what happens? It comes to pass. Prophet Elisha, whenever he declares, it comes to pass. This time tomorrow, and exactly it will be God being faithful to his words. So you can imagine, if God had spoken to these prophets and they are timid and they weren't declaring the word of God, how would others have known that of a truth it was God who called them? As Christians, we need to go out to declare with boldness the word of God, because we know our God is going to back us. We need to be bold, to be brave. Okay? We need that. It's not that I'm not singing the praises of Pastor here this evening, but I knew there was something that happened between us and the council. And they said, no, you are still very wrong. You cannot do this. The email will come back, and he said, he told them, you are still very wrong. You cannot do this. And he kept telling, emphasizing them, you cannot do this. It is wrong. At work, in our community, whenever we see things that are wrong, do we just keep quiet and turn blind eyes? It doesn't concern me. It doesn't affect me. If God asks you to speak out, do not be timid. Speak out. Those are the lessons that the Holy Spirit laid in my heart. And remember, we started with the word of God read out to us. It says, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. The first step is for God to create in us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. He said, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and restore to me the joy of my salvation. The Holy Spirit had left King Saul long time ago because of the sin, but he was still seated on the throne. So, we should understand why King David was writing, restore to me the joy of my salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Until that is done, then verse 13, it says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. If you don't have a clean heart, if I don't have a clean heart, if God does not restore to me the joy of my salvation, it will be very, very, very difficult now to go out and teach sinners God's ways. As we go to the Lord's table, I want us just to think about what we've heard. Let's bow down our heads and have a think. God, I am yours. I declare that I am yours. But at times I stay compromised, creating me a new heart, Lord. Creating me a cleaner heart. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. And help me to go into the world to continue to represent you as your ambassador. That my life will be a life of worship unto you, Lord. I pray, Father. Thank you, Almighty God. Pastor Vicky, sorry, please, if you don't mind, can you pray for us? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you that it is, as we've heard tonight, not through our own actions that we are in a relationship with you, but because of your grace and your love for us. And Lord, as we have recognized that we come before you as broken and sinful people, that we have the joy and the confidence of knowing when we say sorry that you do indeed forgive us and you restore us and you create in us a clean heart. And so, Father God, as we look to share in the bread and in the wine, Father, we thank you that we do so, but it came at the cost of your Son. And Father, for that, we truly thank you. Amen.
We are invited, you are all invited to the Lord's table. If you know God, you don't have to have been baptized.